When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. You want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. 1 hour of commercial-filled football.
Yeah, don't be surprised when we break the commercial, guys.
Yeah.
It isn't like Red Zone you're watching.
Unlike Red Zone, we won't lie to you about commercials. Did you see that last week, Schultzy?
No, I missed it.
The outcry of for NFL Red Zone. I mean, it is every week, Scott Hansen, as we kick off, says, it's time for 7 hours of commercial-free football.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
They played commercials last week.
That's got to be like the first week in Red Zone history.
He even had to, and I don't think he, well, he didn't have to, but he posted on his Twitter because as I was watching last week, they did a split screen in the afternoon, and it was a game on one side, and then on the other side, a commercial started showing. And I was like, wait a second, do they not realize they're showing a game on commercial break right now? Like, I thought they had messed up and like left a game on that was in commercial break. And then I realized under the commercial, there was a graphic with the logo Visa on it. I was like, oh no, this is a baked in commercial in Red Zone. So they did a split screen of one game that was going on and a like 15-second Visa commercial. And so they workshopped last week, apparently, a few commercials. And there was outcry about how that's not how Red Zone works. It is commercial-free football. That's what you pay for. And so Scott Hansen made an apology. You know, I do my best to get things right. And last week I missed the mark. I said 7 hours of commercial-free football. And we did play some commercials. And apparently it's something that they did just for 1 week to see how it went, see what the reaction was.
A little beta test.
And the reaction was... about what we expected, everybody was not happy.
To be fair, like, who wants any show or anything they're watching to be interrupted by commercials?
Yeah.
No.
Who wants commercials anyways? They pay the bills, but nobody wants them.
I purposely pay for my Netflix, Hulu, The Cock, all of them, like, commercial-free. Because if I'm paying this, like, I don't want to see a Visa commercial in the middle of that show, or even on Netflix. Like if you have, if you don't have like Netflix, like premium or whatever,
yeah, you
like,
got to pay for the higher tier.
I'm not sure what you're doing because it's only like an extra few bucks, but you really want to be watching Narcos and every 12 minutes get a Visa commercial? No, I don't. And it's the same commercial like that they play. Like it's not like it's different commercials. No, it's the same two or three commercials they play for every break. Like, come on, man. The NFL, I think we knew, if nothing else, the NFL is about dollar bills, y'all.
So
that's what they do. So I'm not shocked at all that they just now started running commercials. I'm shocked they didn't start running them way before.
And this was just posted on Awful Announcing on Twitter. Scott Hansen apparently said, from this point forward, it's 7 hours of red zone football. He did not mention the commercial-free aspect.
There you go. Very good.
Yeah, the world is now going to change as far as red zone.
The world's
goes.
Going to ass.
Yeah.
Our pets' heads are falling off. We got commercials on red zone.
Can I be honest? I think I've told you guys this before. I only watch red zone for a few minutes. I would rather watch a game. I would rather, because
what a concept.
You can't tell a story of a team or of a game by watching just clips of when somebody's in scoring position. Like that doesn't tell me anything about anything. And so I need to watch a game to see, you know, the fluidity of it and everything. But so I only watch red zone for a little bit, and it's usually off by noon, and I'm watching the 1 o'clock games after that, you know, kind of flipping through, trying to find one that I like. But yeah, I don't really rock red zone anyway, like that, to be honest. I know I catch a lot of hell for that because friends want to come over and watch red zone. I'm like, why? I don't want to just watch red zone. That's silly to me.
Speaking of like commercials though, I did find it very odd that, the kickoff shows for the college football playoff games, they were brought to you by Fortnite. OG.
I saw that.
My son cared more about that than the actual game itself.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, Fortnite is sponsoring the college football playoff? And I was like, it's just a kickoff show. But yeah, apparently so.
Football does it right, man. Football tries to figure out like how to get kids.
We're hip. You know, we're cool.
Yeah, right. You know, we got it. You know, we can still do this, right? You know, that's what we think that we're the cool parents and everything, and then that our kids are going to really love the things that we love, like sports, and then they see Roblox on TV. It's like, oh, and they talk to you about that for the rest of the day. You know, that Roblox commercial, that was the one that really got me, man. So I'm not surprised that they're trying to wheel little kids in with Fortnite, because I don't play it. Well, there are a lot of adults that play Fortnite.
Yes, there definitely are. And there's teenagers and young adults who play college football. And that's what happened on Friday night and Saturday after the Fortnite OG pregame show. But Friday night, that was the Indiana Notre Dame game. Luckily, that game got to a point where I could kind of put the phone away. I was at Zoo Lights Friday night.
You went to Zoo Lights as well? Stepdaughter went there on Friday night.
Absolute chaos. Like, I have never been to the zoo that busy before. And it was like, you didn't even see that many animals.
Because it's winter and it's freezing, and they're tigers just don't do well in the freezing cold like
that. What are you talking about? They're Siberian tigers, yeah. Right? They hang out in the cold. Did see some elephants. Did see a polar bear, which, you know, that's, you know, makes sense. He was living his best life, trying to crush a barrel.
Poor guy.
Saw the fruit bats. Gnawing on some broccoli and some celery and some cantaloupe. I mean, someone's got to eat the cantaloupe.
I mean, I love cantaloupe.
But I had the game on my phone, Indiana Notre Dame. But boy, that one, again, that was one where I was like, you know what? I think I can enjoy Zoo Lights a little bit more. Yeah. I think I can just put the phone in the old pocket here for a little bit.
And Kurt Cignetti's a wussy. I almost said the P word on the air, man. He literally punted down three scores. That is your coach of the year, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I love Kurt Cignetti. I love how much S he talks and isn't afraid to speak his mind and the confidence that he has. That was a very un-Kurt Cignetti move there, being down three possessions and punting with 10 minutes left in the game.
No, you go for that. You're fourth and 75, man.
You have to.
You don't have a choice. Like, don't give them the ball back, especially if they keep scoring. I thought that was a scary-ass move by a coach that, again, we don't expect that. kind of.
Did you hear
from.
His explanation too?
No, I did not.
Basically saying that the offense couldn't do anything and the defense like had harder. I can't remember exactly how he put it, but the defense could actually do something. It's like, well,
they've
got to pick the ball off and then run it back to score. So I'm not really understanding that logic either.
Their defense didn't do much. They got a lot of help from the offense for Notre Dame, but you know, it's crazier, like for Notre Dame and Indiana to both be in Indiana. This is the first time they've played since 91?
Yes.
That's 30, crazy.
33 years.
That's crazy.
And I want to say, that Notre Dame, Indiana hasn't won at Notre Dame since like 1898 or something ridiculous.
They're only, and we looked it up.
I think that was the year that I saw. I was like, oh my God. My
buddy and I looked before Rudy.
My buddy and I looked it up, and you know, they're only 2 hours, 2.5 hours away from each other.
Sounds about right.
That's not far. So imagine Oregon and Oregon State never playing each other for 30 years.
That might happen.
That would be crazy. That could very well happen. I don't think it will. I think they're going to put that into the schedule every year. But imagine if we went on a 15-year run where Oregon and Oregon State just didn't play each other.
Well, one, that'd be crazy. Being an independent school, that would happen. So that won't ever happen because, yeah, they're not in the same conference anymore. But Notre Dame has been special for years now. So
yeah.
I will say that the two teams I actually wanted to see do something and make things interesting in the first round of the playoffs did absolutely jack squat, and that was Indiana
and Tennessee.
No, SMU.
Oh,
SMU, really? With their quarterback Jennings, just one of the worst halves of football that you could have possibly asked for. Like, yeah, it was falling. Three interceptions. I think he also had a fumble. Well, he almost had a fumble, he was ruled down, but it was two pick sixes. It was just a god-awful performance by the SMU Ponies, which also, by the way, did you know that SMU, it's not their mascot, but they have, like, you know how Texas has Bevo, the Longhorn, and Georgia has Ugga, the Bulldog. They have their own little, like, live mascot, a horse named Kevin.
That's a stupid name for a horse. I have an uncle named Kevin, but you don't name that. Yeah, you don't name your horse Kevin.
I think it's great.
Seriously, think about all the horses cool usually names horses have had.
That's what I'm saying. Horses usually have like pretty intricate names, like, you know, down the third baseline, coming up the stretch here for the win, or, you know,
literally down the third baseline.
Yeah, like it's some ridiculous name, like Ace of Spades. Now trying to pull out the victory.
Oh, but here comes Kevin. Yeah. Kevin's right behind him. Like, what?
That's
come
a
on,
great
Kevin!
Game.
Come on, Kevin!
Also, the picture that they posted, because they had a TV in Kevin's stable for him to watch the game, and Kevin had some braids on his mane. The drip on Kevin was insane.
That's SMU for you. I can imagine. I can imagine. They had some sisters come in and put singles in Kevin's hair.
It was, it made me like, you know, I know it's all oil money and it's that Dallas money, and you know, I probably shouldn't like SMU any more than I should. But again, seeing that picture of Kevin made me a little bit more of an SMU fan. Too bad they couldn't make Kevin proud. I'm sure that Kevin wanted to be turned into IKEA meatballs.
I'm sure Kevin was. I'm sure Kevin was plenty proud. I mean, and it sucks, but for the SMUs and Boise States and the Indianas of that are playing in the Arizona States, you know, that are playing in the playoffs. Like, this is huge for you. Like, everything about
Rashad just saw the picture.
It's a white
Kevin.
Horse with braids. It looks like every white kid from the early 2000s that was a fan of Carmelo.
Again, this is why whites shouldn't do braids.
Yeah, it's cool. Sometimes it looks good. I remember Timberlake had braids at one point. You know, they came out real fast though. But for all those schools that have been kind of used to being doormats for college football, whether you win or lose this year, and more than likely you're going to lose, this is that's a hell of a season. So if you're SMU, y'all should be proud of the year y'all had. And in spite of the terrible game that you had yesterday, you had a hell of a year, you know, playing college football. Tennessee to be back in the – I don't remember Tennessee being good for 20 years. And now they're back in the mix of being one of the top 15 teams in the land. Like, that's huge for your program. Arizona State, after being in the basement of the Pac-12 forever, now gets to say that they're the Big 12 champion and playing in the playoff the first year. Like, whether you win or lose, that's – ginormous for your program.
SMU and Indiana, they laid Clemson kept it interesting for a little bit. They had it to one possession game.
No, forget Clemson.
31-24, and then Texas just went and scored immediately right after that to make it a two-possession game. And I believe that was the final score of that was 38-24 for Texas and Clemson there.
Should have bought that extra point, man. 13.5 was the spread.
Texas looked real good, though. They basically said, we will not let Quinn Ewers be the deciding factor in this game. He only threw the ball 24 times. They ran that rock, 229 total yards.
What they should have done.
I mean, that's when Texas has looked their best this year, is just controlling the line of scrimmage. And they were definitely able to do that yesterday and looked damn good. So
Quinn Ewers may have played his last game at Texas. You know, as far
it's
as
possible,
the stadium, you know, potentially.
It's possible. Let's take a quick break. Let's take a look at the matchups that we will be seeing on New Year's Day and New Year's Eve. We'll do a quick preview because we'll be here next week as well to talk about them. But we'll do that next. Get into a little bit of NFL stuff as well to finish up hour number two right here. Football Sunday, 10 to the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
So we have our next round of playoff games set. It is, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Oregon versus Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. That okay. is on New Year's Day at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Put it down on
it's
the calendar.
Be a good one.
Yeah, me and the group I was with last night, we were watching the game and we were trying to figure out the location. We're trying to pinpoint because we've had some good luck at places, bad luck at others. So you got to be smart about, you know, what place is going to have the right juju, have the right vibes. Can't do Big Al's anymore.
Probably not.
Haven't had good luck at Big Al's watching Oregon Ducks games. We're We might be going to a bar up in North Portland, the Twilight Room.
Tea Room.
Yeah, familiar?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from the North, baby.
My buddy had to remind me a couple years ago. We went there for the Civil War when Oregon State won. And I had completely forgot about that. And then he's like, yeah, there was those annoying Oregon State fans right behind us. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Then I was like, didn't they bring cookies? Like, I thought that was a nice gesture. I was like, they brought some homemade cookies to the bar.
Nice of them, I guess.
But it was pretty annoying listening to, you know, a fan base other than my own enjoy themselves. So
I don't know what it is about listening to Oregon State celebrate that we just don't like. Because I'm not even – I like the Ducks. I'm not like a – obviously, you went there, so it's different for you, Joe. But even like I said, when Jordan and I were at the Oregon State game, we were just annoyed by the fans. More than anything, it's like, oh, shut up, you know? So –
it's like they don't know what they're watching.
Sorry, Beavs, but like that was it was I don't know why that is.
Where's my Brandon Sprague drop? My there we go.
That's it. That's it. That's the sound that we heard all night.
Ohio State, Oregon State is your Rose Bowl matchup.
Oregon State?
Excuse me. Ohio State, Oregon.
Oh, I was about to say that'd be dope.
That would be a miracle.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Wouldn't be a close game either.
Maybe one day. The Peach Bowl, Texas at Arizona State. I want to say that Texas has opened up as like a 12.5-point favorite for that one.
That makes sense. I mean, I think if Texas played like they did yesterday, especially when they're able to run the ball as effectively as they were, like the one thing, you know, we kind of talked about Indiana not playing anybody, but, you know, with the water down Big 12 and mind
13
you,
and a half point favorite they opened up
that's still a lot of points, you know, for against a team that just won the Big 12 championship. But again, the Big 12 isn't the Big 12 that we remember it
but
as.
They dominated but in they, the Big 12 championship
but they did dominate in the Big 12 championship, and so that's a game I honestly believe that Texas will walk away with. I mean, shout out to Arizona State, man. There you'll always beat Pac 12 to me. But, yeah, I think Texas is going to walk away with that game.
Hopefully Cam Scataboo's got one more great performance in him he's gonna to keep need a that
couple,
one close.
Yeah, he's going to need a couple great performances if they want to do anything.
That will be the Peach Bowl. That will be the 10 a.m. game on New Year's Day. So that will be what gets us started on New Year's Day. The New Year's Eve game at 4:30 will be Penn State v. Boise State at the Fiesta Bowl. Down in Glendale, Arizona. Penn State, a 10.5-point favorite. Penn State, the last couple of weeks on both sides of the ball, has looked good. Their offense looked good against Oregon. Their defense was amazing yesterday against SMU. They are playing some of their best football right now. I know that the Oregon game was a loss for them, but again, they have had to be building confidence over the last 2 weeks that they are one of the best teams in the country. And they go against a Boise State team who is looking to pull off some Fiesta Bowl magic like they did against Oklahoma 17 years ago.
That was the game where dude asked his girlfriend to marry him. Right? After he ran the ball in the air.
Statue of Liberty, the hook and ladder. I mean, that one of the greatest college football games of all time, Oklahoma-Boise State. But Boise State looking to do what they are prone to do, and that's upset big-name schools. And hopefully that we have, just like Cam Scataboo, hopefully has one more great performance. Hopefully Ashton Gentry's got one more great performance in him, because, boy, they're going to need it against a very good Penn State team.
They're absolutely going to need it.
And then the last one on New Year's Day, 5:45 kickoff, that will be Notre Dame versus Georgia. I would say the Oregon-Ohio State game, that is the marquee matchup of the next round. Absolutely. Again, it's a classic Rose Bowl matchup. It is the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. So that's the best one. This Notre Dame-Georgia game, though, I am extremely excited for this because Notre Dame is playing some of the best defense in college football right now. That defense is very scary.
They are.
Georgia also has a very scary defense. Probably not going to have Carson Beck, so very intrigued to see what happens in this game. I'm guessing this is going to be a low-scoring, close battle between these two. Notre Dame very well could end up winning this one. Right now, Georgia is only a 1.5-point favorite. And, I would say that this is the best matchup, one I'm most excited for, obviously, outside of Oregon-Ohio State.
No, I think, like I said, I'm not as high on Notre Dame as everyone else is. And, again, like kind of what Jordan was saying, is like you're in this independent conference and you're kind of special and on your own. And So I don't know. I don't really trust Notre Dame like that.
They did lose to Northern Illinois. So you know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, and so it's hard for me to fully trust this team in this situation especially against a Georgia team who, while they're not as strong as they were when they won the national championship a couple of years, like they're still Georgia. And I think if whenever you put these two in a room together, I expect Georgia to come out on top. So yeah, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I just don't like Notre Dame. I just it's one of those things. And no, never had a girl that went to Notre Dame that, you know, but I that's a school that I just don't like.
I don't think you're alone in that. It's just this program that is hard to like. I think if you're not a Notre Dame fan, they're just a hard to like school.
Rudy made me hate Notre Dame. He's the weakest football player ever.
What are you talking about? He's inspirational.
Rudy was trash. Sorry.
The whole team was willing to sit out if he didn't play.
That's silly. I don't think that's true.
That actually isn't true because the real coach from the Rudy days, he was like kind of mad that he was portrayed like a D-bag basically. He's like, I was not that much of a hard ass. I was willing to play the kid. He worked his tail off.
Day, do not take away that Hollywood magic, okay? I cried.
Sean Austin, every white guy cried when
I shed tears.
Should have been me.
Little tiny guy.
Could have been me.
Little white guy on the D-line.
You hit the gym immediately.
So there's your matchup. And we'll, again, talk about these games next week because we've got a show next week, and then the games will be played on Tuesday and Wednesday, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Nervous
as hell. Looking forward to it. I mean, I'm nervous, scared. But in a good way. Like, I mean, I'm nervous because it's like, you know, those pregame jitters and everything you have. But to be honest, like I've said before, never been so confident in an Oregon team. I've never been so trusting in an Oregon coach to where I'm not worried. I think Dan Lanning, Dad bod Dan, is going to have them in great shape to play this game.
Let's take a break. Let's get to some NFL stuff. Again, an article this week that made me feel much better about the Cowboys ownership group. And I also want to talk a little Justin Herbert as we get into the last half of hour number two right here, Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. But first, George Schultz, SportsCenter update. I can't believe I'm saying this, but after reading an article earlier this week, I feel a little bit better about Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys and the ownership group.
I mean, did he say he was giving it away or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
That is not what I'm talking about. You know how sometimes in life you're like, man, I'm not doing so good. When am I doing things right? Am I accomplishing what I want? Am I just a good human? Am I doing the right things? And then you read a story or you see something, or maybe you run into someone, an old friend from high school, or you know, some family members, ex-girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I think I'm doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a lot better than
that. That worked out really well for me.
I'm doing a lot better than some other people. I had this feeling this week reading about the ownership group and the franchise that is the New York Jets. The New York Jets have been a mess for a while. I believe they have the longest streak without a playoff appearance in the NFL.
Sounds about right.
I think they are have gone the longest of any franchise. But an article came out from The Athletic by Zach Rosenblatt, Diana Rossini, and Michael Silver. When you got three NFL reporters
jumping you in an article,
you know it's not good. You know it's going to get ugly. It's an absolute mess. Woody Johnson is a meddling owner. Him and Aaron Rodgers can't see eye to eye. This is one former executive saying they keep on doing the same thing over and over. They change the football people. The football people are not the issue. It's like, hey, I have brain cancer. And they say, well, just cut off your foot.
Yeah, right. Let's go lay down for a little bit.
There are organizations where it is all set up for you to win, said a player with the team in 2023. It feels completely different with the Jets. It's the most dysfunctional place imaginable. There is a story that came from this article. One, Woody Johnson, he was the UK ambassador during Trump's first presidency. When he returned from the United Kingdom after the Trump presidency to take over his role as president of the team, because he had his brother running things, he wanted people to refer to him as Mr. Ambassador. So,
not
get the hell out.
Trade me.
So there's
trade
one.
Me.
It's not like he's like a doctor. Come on, man.
Let me find this one blurb here, because also it's been reported that his sons, one of his sons named Brick, which is a classic billionaire owner son name right there.
Brick.
Brick Johnson. But apparently there was a point earlier this year, it was, or it was in the off season actually, where the team was actually looking to possibly trade for Jerry Jeudy, who ended up getting traded to the Browns, who's actually having a really good year.
Very good year.
I want to say top five in the league in receiving yards, which is good for him. His tenure in Denver was not great. Didn't have a 1,000-yard season while he was there. He now has that with the Cleveland Browns. But they were discussing things, and you'll hear that this is one Jets executive saying, quote, when we're discussing things, you'll hear Woody cite something that Brick or Jack read online, Jack the other son, read online that's being weighed equally against whatever opinion someone else in the department has. I answered to a teenager, Joe Douglas quipped to people close to him before the season in acknowledgement of the perceived power dynamic. Johnson's reference to Jeudy's Madden rating was to some in the Jets organization a sign of the Brick and Jack's influence. That's right. They actually did not trade for Jerry Jeudy because Woody Johnson was concerned about his Madden rating. So Madden NFL, the video game, making decisions in the front office of the New York Jets.
Makes sense, I guess. I mean, yeah, I do that too. Question mark? Like, I don't know. We've known.
Wow, that was a great play right there by Michael Penix, really outplaying his quarterback awareness rating on Madden.
Yeah, you know, he's already got a few guys. I think his rating has gone up a couple points just based on some throws that he's had. But this isn't surprising to hear. The Jets have long been, and this is coming from a Patriots fan in the same division, watching them struggle really since that year that they went to the AFC Championship and stuff like that against the Pats, and or was it against the Chargers? I can't remember who. Yeah, it was against the Patriots, and they just haven't been a good team since. You know, Mark Sanchez, you know, butt fumble. That's really when things kind of fell apart and the Jets became a laughing stock of an organization. I miss the days of Chad Pennington, you know, out there making things happen for this team. But no, and then you throw in, I'm not sure if you guys have been following this thing with Ryan Clark and Aaron Rodgers.
I've seen a little bit, and it's something I don't really want to pay attention to.
No, I mean, because really, Ryan Clark, as an analyst, as somebody that's in the media now, is just doing his job. And
who wears a brooch?
You know, he's hey,
with
man,
his initials on it.
Yeah, that dude is fashionable. Oh, yeah, a lot of people have logos. Like I love it.
I've never seen a man wear a brooch of his own initials before. So I mean,
man, you're not in high fashion places, baby. Yeah, stick with your lady. You'll do it. You'll find some. You'll find some guys with those. But no, really, RC just called out Aaron Rodgers for, you know, what he was. He's like, man, you guys, the Jets have to win three more games to be even equal what you were last year without you. That's how bad you are as the quarterback. You're like almost last in the league in QBR, the whole gamut. And of course, Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, like, you know, completely downplayed it, and these people have no idea, and they, you know whatever he says. Aaron Rodgers is the biggest D-bag in football. Like, easily,
yes.
That's still playing football. He has a series called Enigma. Have you seen it on Netflix?
Oh no, I'm not watching that.
And nobody wants to watch it because you're not an enigma, Aaron Rodgers. There's nothing about you that's, you know, an enigma, like mysterious and everything. Maybe in your answers.
I don't want to see him smoking poison dart.
Doing ayahuasca. Like, whatever, I could care less about you doing ayahuasca.
This is a great point, I think, to not take any political road or argument here and say that I want athletes to shut up and dribble and not talk about themselves on some sort of documentary where nobody cares about what you're doing in your off time. Like, seriously, why do I care how Aaron Rodgers lives his life? It's really not that fascinating.
He wants us to care. And this isn't like the quarterback series or something like that. I was like, let me take a look at these guys' lives. Like, Aaron Rodgers is the one guy that you don't care about the media. You don't, but you go and talk to Pat McAfee every single week and air out everything. It's like, exactly, for the money, for $1 million, but you can say you don't care about it, but then you turn around and do it. So Aaron Rodgers is a weirdo, like, and it doesn't shock me that the Jets are even worse than they are right now, considering that he's the trigger man.
Well, again, I don't want to divert from Woody Johnson and how terrible of an owner he is.
Oh, no, he's one of the worst.
Two more quick stories. In 2022, quarterback Mike White played through broken ribs in a late season game against the Seahawks with postseason hopes on the line. White played poorly. The Jets lost and were eliminated from playoff contention. After the game, with the quarterback in the showers after throwing his helmet to the locker room floor, multiple Jets players said they heard Woody Johnson say, "You should throw your helmet. You effing suck." The statement got back to White. Team spokesperson said Johnson apologized to quarterback, who declined to comment for this story. Another one was from earlier this year, actually. It was after the interim coach, Ulbrich, got his first win. The game ball, Aaron Rodgers had a game ball that they were going to give to him as his first win as a NFL head coach, right? That's usually what they do in the league. Whenever a coach gets their first win, they get the game ball. But before Rodgers could speak, Brick Johnson took another game ball, and Brick Johnson, I think, is 19. He took another game ball and awarded it to wide receiver Garrett Wilson in a profanity-laced exclamation, which the owner's son later posted to Instagram. Woody Johnson then gave Ulbrich the ball Rodgers had been holding. Multiple players said the energy felt drained out of the room. One player said it was the most awkward, cringeworthy, brutal experience. Yeah.
Brick seems like a cool hang.
And he is not Brick Tamlin. He might have the same IQ as Brick Tamlin. But, So this, again, reading this, I was like, wow, I know that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys suck in that front office.
But it's just Jerry.
I don't think it's that bad, though.
It's just Jerry, though. I mean, I don't know. I think people in the Cowboys organization are competent enough to run things. We've seen them have some success and everything, but it's ultimately Jerry that kind of continues to hold the Cowboys back. In this situation, it's everyone in the front office for the Jets, particularly their owner, that just makes things impossible.
And apparently when Woody Johnson went to the U.K., to be the ambassador over there, his brother took over for a little bit. And everybody says, like, dude, his brother was cool, laid back. He's very quiet. He just kind of like sits in the room and observes things and treats you like another person. Like, you would not think he is a billionaire owner. So apparently Woody Johnson's brother, I forget what his name is a lot cooler. And people were like, yeah, actually, he isn't so bad. And then sure enough, once Woody Johnson came back after being the UK ambassador, that's when we have all of this. Yeah. So,
Well, when you have somebody that worked for the Trump administration, let's just I'm just saying, we're not going to go all politics.
He was a known idiot before that, too.
But I'm saying, but he came back with extra, like, juice, like, call me Mr. Ambassador. What? What? No.
Would you not?
No, I'm not. Sorry, dog.
Would you not want people to refer to you as Mr.
Ambassador? I would not. Call me Mr. Taylor. Call me Rashad. Call me something. But don't. Come on, man. That feels like you're being funny.
All right, let's take a break. Let's wrap the show up. Let's give some love to some Oregon quarterbacks next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right. Lions absolutely demolishing the Bears. They're about to go up 20-0.
Hell yeah.
The Eagles and Saquon Barkley cannot be stopped. Jalen Hurts actually not playing. He left the game for some reason. I haven't seen why, but Kenny Pickett has been in the last couple game or possessions. Doesn't matter, though, when Saquon Barkley is running for 60-yard plus touchdowns, as he just did. Eagles up 21-7. That over might hit before halftime, Jordan.
No kidding. I think I saw Jalen. He had like 41 rushing yards, so I'm assuming he went out like on a rushing play or something like that.
It is possible. Rashad and I were talking about quarterbacks in the commercial break. I wanted to talk about Justin Herbert, and is he a top five quarterback in the league? And also, are the top five quarterbacks in the NFL on the AFC?
Ooh.
Because you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Josh Allen, you got Lamar Jackson, and then, you know, four and five, you could probably put Burrow and Herbert.
Yeah.
I mean, in the NFC, again, when you look at the NFC, I mean, you're not going to take Jalen Hurts, any of those guys. You're not going to take Baker over any of those guys. I love Baker, but
Baker's very good. Baker's my guy.
But he's not better than those guys. I mean, are you going to take Jared Goff over any five of those? Again, the whole starting of, you know, the proverbial, if I'm starting a franchise today, are those not your first five quarterbacks taken off the board? And I think Justin Herbert, he continues to insert himself as one of the best quarterbacks in the league, as in a top five quarterback talent.
Man, so, dang, you got me thinking now. So, no, yeah, all the best quarterbacks And that's really been the case for a little bit. The best quarterbacks come from the AFC. And that's kind of been the case for the next. I think the best defenses in most cases have come from the NFC. So historically, when you talk about, you know, now the Lions and the the 49ers and, you know, right. some of those great defenses. I think you'll look there and see that. But you look at the AFC side and it's like quarterback after quarterback after quarterback. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of young guys in the NFC, you know, I mean, that are going to be good. But no, I think right now the class of quarterbacks come from the AFC.
You look at the NFC and the Falcons just get a pick six. That's not good. Not good for my Giants bet at all. Wait, there's a flag. Bring it back, please. Anyways, this is your top passer ratings in the NFC. It's Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, Jaden Daniels. That's the NFC.
Okay.
I'm not taking any one of those over the five quarterbacks I named in the AFC. Even beyond those five, I mean, there's Jordan Love, Matt Stafford, Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray, Geno Smith. I'm not taking any of those guys over the five in the AFC. And I think I would take Justin Herbert over all of those quarterbacks in the NFC.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really racking my brain here trying to figure out. I think Jaden Daniels is probably the one from the NFC. I'd be like, okay, I think I'd be okay with taking the kid, you know, right now. As far as somebody you can start a franchise with and everything, I think Jaden Daniels is probably the one right now that I would probably say, yes, I will take that kid right now. But everybody else, like, Dak, no. Goff, no, he's good right now. Baker Mayfield, no. He's probably the one that I think we could all agree on that Baker is one of those ones. Derek Carr, no. You know what I mean? Like, as I'm going through the list, like, yeah, I think the AFC has kind of got it. But the NFC, defense wins championships, unless you're Patrick Mahomes. And in that case, you're just going to win anyway.
Justin Herbert, though, they get the win on Thursday night against Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. I mean, great showing for Oregon quarterbacks, but Justin Herbert now on the year, 18 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions.
Herbert's having a great year. You know, Herbert's having a great year. Will it mean any playoff success for them at any point? We'll see. You know, it's year one for Jim Harbaugh, so we'll see.
Just hope they get the Steelers. That's who I'm hoping they play. I mean, again, a revisionist recency bias, the Steelers are just not looking good at all right now. So if you have them playing anybody in the first round, if playoffs, you know, began today, that's who they would be playing in the first round is the Steelers. Avoid the 7 seed, because right now it looks like the Bills are going to start running away with that, and they're going to get the 2nd overall seed. Chiefs, unless the Chiefs need one more win, which they're probably going to get, and they'll get that number 1 seed in the first round bye. So then you'd have the Bills taking on the Broncos, and then Steelers would take on the Chargers. I would need the Chargers to take on the Steelers if I would feel confident about a win there. But again, I could see the Chargers being the Texans in the first round with the way the Texans have been playing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Chargers just need to get there. They need to finish strong, and Justin Herbert needs to be strong moving into the playoffs and really prove that he is as good as we all think he is. I think we all think Justin Herbert is great, but we've yet to see it really come to fruition yet.
All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody out there, have a great Christmas. You guys have a great Christmas.
Love you guys, man. Happy holidays, fellas.
Yeah,
man.
Definitely.
Merry Christmas.
It's been a hell of a year, man. Happy holidays to my guys.
We'll be back here next Sunday to preview the college football playoffs a little bit more. We'll have some bowl games that have been happening. The playoff picture will be a little bit more clear in the NFL. So football rolls on. Yes, absolutely love this time of year.
Me as well. Can't wait.
And hopefully Netflix doesn't have buffering and streaming issues on Christmas.
We'll see. It better be on point, Netflix. You better be on point.
All right. For Joe Fisher, for Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz, appreciate you guys as always.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody.
And to all the listeners out there, thank you for joining us on Football Sunday. We will catch you next week at 9 a.m. Peace.